Our praise goes up. Your rain comes down. Come on, sing it out.
Our praise goes up.
Your rain comes down.
Your rain comes down.
Oh, yeah.
Your praise goes up.
If you've got the victory, Lord, I want you to say yes. Come on. How many here today are glad that you're saved? That God saved you, changed you, gave you a new life? Well, let's be a testimony as we sing this next song. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Are you ready to praise? Come on. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
We give thanks.
We
worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Oh, you are here.
You are here.
Oh, moving in our midst.
Moving in our midst.
We've come to worship you.
I worship you. I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Working in this
working
place.
Working in this place.
Come to worship you.
I worship you.
Oh, we sing Waymaker, oh, now. Say, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is me. Oh, I believe someone here needs a miracle worker today. Let's shout it out, come on. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Touching every heart.
I worship you.
I worship you. I've come to worship you.
praise, God. When the wind comes, it'll show what you're standing on. When the wind blows, it'll show what you're anchored to. You know, large ships will throw an anchor down into the water, and it'll latch on to the ocean bottom, and they cannot see the anchor. They can see the storm, they can see the waves, but they can't see the anchor. But what the beautiful thing about the anchor is, the strength is not in what they can see. The greater strength is what they cannot see, and that's the anchor. Because they're on something that can be moved, but the anchor is into something that cannot be moved. In other words, the point being, you may not always see God, but if you're anchored into Him, you will not be moved, because God is an immovable force to be reckoned with. If you place your hope or you anchor your strength or security or peace in anything but God, then you will be shaking by little or big storms. But in the name of Jesus Christ, your God is bigger than your storm. Your God is bigger than your circumstance. Come on, give Him praise and let Him know you know it. You know He's a big God. And the greatest thing I think that any of us can understand is that we don't stand in the middle of the storm because of the strength of our commitment. We stand in the midst of the storm because of the strength of His commitment. I'll try that on you, because some of you need to hear that again, because you know you're so strong in your own strength. But when it comes down to it, how many have found out that God's commitment to you was far stronger than you realized that your commitment was to Him? In other words, you can brag about your commitment, you can brag about your faith, you can brag about all that, but when it comes down to it, if it had not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be in church today. Come on. If it had not been for God, you wouldn't have lifted voices, lifted it. Come on. Give Him thanks then like that. Even when I couldn't do it, even when I didn't know what was going on, I thank you, Lord, you do. So today, we don't praise Him because of our performance. We praise Him because of His strength today. Well, I'm so glad that we can unite our faith with easily hundreds of thousands of other people. Our president has called for this to be a national day of prayer. How many know we're not doing anything wrong when the whole nation begins to pray? We're about to do something right, finally. Finally, it feels good to do something right as a nation, right? Feels good to do something reasonable as a people, right? And these people that are trying to destroy this nation have been oblivious for the past week. Isn't it amazing? We don't see them anymore. They're back in their basements, playing with their computers. But the people that love God are getting up on their feet doing something for Jesus. And I want us to pray together. I may understand there's a battle going on, and it's bigger than water. It's a spiritual battle going on, but today we're going to see victory, and we're seeing victory today. So let us join our hearts together as fellow believers in the body of Christ nationwide, and let's put our voices together. Don't stand there and hum or think. There's no silent prayer in the Bible. So just open your mouth and pray. Well, if somebody hears me, good. Pray out loud. Would you? Let's pray together. There's hundreds of people here today. It ought to be heard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and we humble ourselves before You. God, we can become so proud, and many of the evils of our nation have come at the fingerprints of proud and wicked people. But God, we are Your people, and we humble ourselves before You. And we ask You, Lord, touch our nation. touch Texas, Southeast Texas right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll help the broken people. I pray that you'll help people that are struggling to stay alive. I pray for people who are in despair. Their lives are so fragile. This has just added weight upon it. But we pray, God Almighty, that as a nation, as we humble ourselves and pray, we pray that this nation will begin to see the glorious power of Christ rise up out of Southeast Texas right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for pastors and for churches in those regions that are reaching their community. Lord, I believe at the greatest storm of their then known history will become the greatest opportunity of our then known history as well. God, I pray that there'll be unity in the body of Christ like there has never been before. I pray that schisms and division will just fall away and there'll be a uniting in Christ. We pray, Lord, for an army of volunteers and of finances to rebuild homes and rebuild lives and rebuild businesses and rebuild churches. I pray, God, that you'll bring protection in everything the devil wants to do by using evil people to loot and steal. I pray, God, you'll annihilate their ability, God. And I pray that you convict them. Put angels around the houses of people and guard and keep your hand upon them. I pray that you'll guide the political leaders as they go through this difficult situation. Give them divine wisdom and guidance. And now, oh Lord, bless America. Lord, I pray that this evil that has been onslaughted against us for decades will come to a head when we begin to lift up the only name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up your name today. Your name is great. Your name is great in this nation. Your name is great in this church. And God, at your name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. We pray that you'll protect our children, protect our people, protect the communities. And I pray, God, you'll bring order in the midst of chaos. And ultimately, Lord, we will put our eyes on you. Hallelujah. Let us turn our eyes on you. As the world looks on us, let the world see America turning back to God, turning back to the altar, turning back to the scripture, turning back to the cross, turning back to the local church. And God, do it one more time before you return. Pour out your spirit on America one more time. Let North America receive a divine invasion of peace, joy, hope, and love. Lord, let us be a soul-winning people. That's the reason you raise up the nation, so that the globe will experience the glory of the Lord. And for this, we say thank you humbly. We say thank you for your extended grace and mercy upon us. Now bless this service. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Woo! Praise God. Somebody give the Lord thanks and praise for his presence. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. Praise God. I tell you, God is here today. God is here today. How many say amen to that? God is here today. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to do more than pray for our precious brothers and sisters in Texas today. We're going to just take one offering today, but out of that offering, you can play, Heather. Out of that offering, I'll take that stand if you would. Thank you, buddy. We're going to take one offering today, but if you want to designate some funds towards those that are in this catastrophe in Southeast Texas, you just know, just write Harvey on there. You don't have to spell it right, because I don't know if there's an E or not, but just write Harvey in there. And so we're taking one offering. This is tithe and offering for the church, but if you want to set aside some extra funds to help with the folks down there in Texas, I want to show you a video here, and I'll tell you where the funds are going. We have some very, very close friends in Victoria, Texas, and the eye of the storm, if you've been watching, passed right through Victoria. And Jim and Tamar Graff have been really phenomenal friends to my wife and I, and they pastor a great church, it's a mega church in Victoria. Victoria is probably the size of Bangor and Brewer put together, and they are the foremost outreaching church in that region. And the only reason I say I've preached for them several times, and I know what they are on the inside, and they are a great church, and they're seeing great things happen. This week there was a press conference. Vice President Pence was there, Governor Abbott was there, several cabinet members were there at the church in the parking lot, just welcoming the volunteers and thanking them for what they're doing. And so Pastor Jim's actually sent me the video that they've sent out to some other folks, and I want to play that for you right now and kind of give you a feel for what's going on to where we're sending these funds down into Victoria, Texas.
Hi, family and friends. As you probably heard, we've experienced the worst hurricane in our history here in South Texas. We'll never forget the destructive blow that Hurricane Harvey's dealt. Many of us had the eye of the hurricane come right through our home. And after that, it was power outages, it was damaged and destroyed homes, it was people seeking food and help and water everywhere.
Until you've looked into glazed eyes and held the hands of people affected, it's really hard to grasp how deeply it hurts or to know how much hearts need to be touched with God's love and hope. I'm so grateful that this is coming from believers throughout this region, but we know we can't do it alone.
We are so grateful for these Christian relief organizations who brought their expertise to our region and for the body of Christ. And if you want to make a difference, if your heart is moved, then first of all, I'd encourage you to pray for the precious people of this region and then make a compassionate choice to give financially, to donate and to volunteer. Your life can make a huge difference. We love you and are incredibly grateful for your heart to help.
Visit myffc.com/give to designate funds to Hope Over Harvey. You can send a relief team by emailing us at jgraff@myffc.com or by registering on the Samaritan's Purse website, clicking the Victoria button.
So if you would get your offering together, and we're going to send 100% and then some of what you designate for them right to the church. I believe Wharton, Texas is still underwater, and they're sending teams throughout Victoria and up into Wharton, Texas. And so we're grateful for this opportunity. That isn't it awesome when the local church steps up and starts making the difference? The local church. When local churches start influencing. And you know why local churches can do it? Because they're supported. They come together. They have a commitment. There's an organization. So we're grateful for your generosity. Let me just mention, a couple weeks ago we talked to you about the family here in Charleston that their home was totally destroyed by that fire, and we were able to give them immediate financial help that day. But I mentioned to you then, and it just keeps, so almost $3,000 has come in just through offerings to go to help them on top of what we've already given to them. So I'm telling you, the generosity of this place is phenomenal. And so we can reach, I, some people just want to reach the world and forget their neighborhood, and some people just want to reach the neighborhood and forget the world. How many know God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills? He cares about all of it. He even counted the hills, right? He not only counted the cows, he counted the hills. That means God's got enough to take care of everything when people get together. So God bless you as you give today. Heavenly Father, we give with gratitude. We're so grateful for what you are doing, both here in our communities and with the church nationwide. I pray your blessing on this tithe and offering, special offering taken up today. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. And amen. Boy, I'll tell you, when I left my office this morning to come in for prayer with the worship team, the most beautiful smell just wafted up my nostril passage. I don't know how we could maybe get that odor of a barbecue to just kind of linger around as a glory cloud in our parking lot all week long. No better smell than that right there. I just can't wait to eat today. I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. And I just ate. But we're going to invite everybody to join us after the service this morning. Got a free meal for everybody. It's on us. Eat, it's on us. So I hope everybody will come. And then after that, there are bounce houses. There's a rock climbing wall and all kinds of activities that are going to take place. I hope that you'll just eat, have some fun, hang out, just get to meet some people, shake some hands, and have a wonderful time. Don't leave until all the food is eaten. How about that? And then tonight there'll be no service because of all that's going on this morning and this afternoon. Let me just mention now about to our teachers. We have a gift card for every classroom teacher that's here today. If you'd stop by the table in the foyer, fill that out. We'll email you a gift card, and you can get some school supplies to help with your classroom. You understand that our teachers are having a more and more difficult time
to have stuff available for their children. And so we're going to help our teachers. And then thank you so much. Look at all these supplies all over this platform. Absolutely a phenomenal response. As you have known, each week we ask for a certain item, and you have overwhelmingly responded just as usual. All these backpacks are totally packed with school supplies, and there's backpacks also to be filled still. And over the next several weeks, my wife, Kelly Bean, the children's pastor, and Jamie Dunphy, who runs our communications, will be going to the different schools, and they'll be going and just providing all of these materials. We don't take cameras or video, any of that, because we're not doing it to be seen, and we don't want to embarrass anybody. But along with these, they're going to bring donuts and coffee to the teachers. Amen. How many know our schools run on Dunkin'? That's pretty good right there. So it's fantastic. Come winter time, that same team will go out and they'll give out snow boots, snow coats, hats, mittens, snow pants, and make sure that no child is cold this winter. And so we're very grateful. Thank you for your generosity and help with that. So I'm just going to preach for a little bit here, and then after that, we're going to pray for all of the students, from the very little children right up through all college students as well. And then after that, we're going to pray for all of our teachers and our school workers, anybody connected to the school. We're going to want to be able to pray for you. Amen? Safeway 70 yard sale, September 14th and 15th. And so if you want to get some good stuff at a reduced price, go over there. So grateful. They had a golf tournament just a couple weeks ago that Blaine Whitney has really gotten a hold of and has really led that. And they have a backpack program at Safeway where they fill the backpacks with food. The children take their backpacks home over the weekend because many are not going home and eating good meals or eating at all. So they take a backpack home full of food. They bring the empty backpack to school on Monday. Safe Place people pick them up and they fill them back up. And then the kids go home with food the next weekend. And I think they had about $15,000 to $16,000 raised at that golf tournament, which is fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic. Isn't this fun? I said, isn't this fun? Man, this is a blast. This is better than a water slide in June. This is better than ice skating. How about that? Is that better? Is that a little more apropos? Fantastic. All right. If you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. You don't have to stand. You can stay right where you're at. I'm so glad that you're here. And by the way, I didn't welcome all of our guests. Thank you for joining us today. Stop by the Welcome Center and pick up one of our welcome boxes. And everybody that's watching online, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Let's welcome all of our visitors today and guests. I heard a story recently about, and you'll understand why I'm telling this old joke again, but I recently heard a story about twins. One of them was very optimistic and one of them was very pessimistic. And the pessimist child would always complain every Christmas about every gift they would get. If it was an electrical toy, well, the batteries are going to go dead. If it was anything like that, then he would just be a pessimist. The other twin was always so happy. No matter what, if he got a wooden truck, he was happy about it. They thought they'd do a little experiment one Christmas, and they gave the pessimist twin all kinds of wonderful new toys. And the pessimist twin complained about everything. The optimistic twin went to his room, and they had filled his room with horse manure. When the optimist child saw the room full of horse manure, he jumped right in and started digging and shouting and clapping his hands and laughing. He said, "Why are you so happy? That have this much horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." Turn to your neighbor and ask, which twin are you? Which? You probably don't have to ask. Acts chapter 1, verse 23. Listen to what happens. Hey, we've been on this journey. I can't believe it. We did 90 days of reading. How many participated some in the reading this summer? You did a great job. Wow. Awesome. That was a lot of fun. Want to do that again sometime? Maybe just like not just that. There is more Bible, but we'll do that again. And then 13 weeks ago, we started talking about one trait for each disciple. And here we are. There are only 12 disciples, but the 13th I want to talk about is Matthias. Judas is no longer alive. The 11 disciples have gathered after the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, And they say, okay, we need to have 12 guys on this team. So verse 23 says, they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Verse 24. Then they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart, show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. That's rough. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. I want you to just kind of go back in time toward the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as there are 70 people who've committed to be a part of this team to follow Christ and to share Christ with that region. Jesus said, I'm going to bring 12 guys from that group that will in essence be the upper part of my governing cabinet, or maybe a better term would be 12 of you guys are going to be varsity, the rest of you JV. There, on a very short list, stood Matthias. He was so close to being picked, and it could be that Judas was picked last. I don't know. But Matthias was this close, but he didn't get chosen. They say of the Olympians, the gold, silver, and bronze, the most happy are the gold and the bronze winners. The gold, obviously, because he got it, or she got in first. The bronze just feel very fortunate to be on the stage. But the silver, now that person doesn't feel so good because they know they were that close to being first. What does Matthias do when he doesn't get chosen? He keeps following. He keeps serving. He keeps doing the right thing. He keeps being involved. He obviously keeps a good attitude and a good spirit, so that when it came time to choose somebody to replace that missing position, it was Matthias. I can hear the other disciples just slapping Matthias on the back, saying, man, I'm so proud of you. You could have been disappointed. You could have been downhearted. You could have just been forgot about it, but you stuck with it. Not only did you stick with it, but you kept a good attitude. We're so glad. You're kind of like a comeback story. The one attribute that I want to talk about Matthias today, which I think will be apropos, is that a trait of the great is one of resisting cynicism. I would say in America, and at a level higher, our region of Maine is an obvious level of cynicism. Look at Solomon. Solomon is a king. He's got all the wisdom. He's got great privilege and opportunity. And you read some of his writing in Proverbs chapter 3. This is what he says: my child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Wow. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Wow. Don't forget the things. It's like a father just speaking to a child. He's so full of hope. Store my command. Take the things that I give you and take them to heart. And don't ever forget them. And I'm going to tell you, if you do the right things, you're going to have a wonderful outcome. Your life is going to be so satisfying if you take these divine truths and apply them. After this, he gets married 700 times. And he's got 300 girlfriends. All of them. Can you imagine? 700 wives means that he would have taken them on a Tim Hortons date once every 3 years, I think. Can you imagine? 700 nagging wives.
Yeah, Solomon, you don't love me. Solomon, why don't you call me? Solomon, yeah, 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 yeah.
Men, just look straight forward. One. Imagine 700. And then you got 300 girls that don't even get a ring. The Bible says that those women turned their hearts from God, and in doing so, turned Solomon's heart from God. And in doing so, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For the wise and the foolish both die. The wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. Verse 17. So I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Wow. He started with so much joy and hope. But after enough time, man, cynicism just took over. It's not even worth doing. He picked up that famous prophetic phrase, I knew that was going to happen. A pessimist need never live disappointed because they always get what they expect. Come on, smile a little bit. A cynic is defined as a person who looks scornfully, who is habitually negative, selfish, or callously calculating. A cynic represents a negative or a pessimistic spirit that is scornful of the virtues or the motives of others. It is marked by showing contemptuous mockery. Cynical. You know, to be quite honest with you, I find cynical people very entertaining. So I just would lose some of my enjoyment if every cynic left my life. I mean, everybody needs an Archie Bunker in their life. Right? Everybody needs an Archie Bunker. You remember Archie Bunker, All in the Family, way back then? I mean, next to Kramer, the funniest person on television. But let's be honest, I think we all can have a little, and you're going to have to YouTube it, anybody that's under 40, but we can all, unfortunately, gather a little bit of that Archie Bunker attitude in us. Hello, a cynic. I'm struggling with this today because I've tried, and I've had times that, with cynics in mind, created entire messages to try to address cynics, and found that the fruit of preaching cynical sermons to cynical people is nothing. Except I become more cynical. And so I've done my best to discipline myself to not try to preach to the mind of a cynic, but to preach to the good heart of a person. And there you start seeing fruit. But then I understand that if you stay in something long enough, you can't help but have to deal with becoming cynical. It's hard not to become cynical as we look at the news. And we look at people being misused, and we see people come and go out of our lives that I realize that a cynical person is not necessarily somebody who planned on it, like Solomon. Solomon didn't plan on becoming cynical, but going through enough things in life, if you're not careful, it will, without you knowing, attach itself to your heart and to your mind and to your words. And you, like Solomon, who starts with such vigor and such joy and such hope, can be in the midst of blessing but live downtrodden and say it's not worth doing. I have literally watched people financially, for instance, that God blesses from the ashes and builds them up so that they are able to be a blessing, and say, I don't even know if tithing works. I've watched people come into church lonely and broken down, and God literally, week by week, put their life together and then stand there and say, I don't know if it works. What have you got? Amnesia? And I think that we need to be careful, and watch, I'm trying to connect these dots. I think we need to be careful because kids are watching. So Dr. Tim Elmore, I've been reading some of his material lately, and he talks about how technology is changing our nation. And I'll read, and I quote, kids today are exposed to media, television, movies, news, entertainment, and music without boundaries. Please listen to these words. Thanks to technology, information streams into their lives, our children, 24/7, and often has no filter, even for young children. When we determined not to censor content in media, we had no idea, understandably, how it would affect our kids. We're removing the opportunity for them to experience innocence and wonder. However, because they're still maturing emotionally, socially, cognitively, and biologically in their first 25 years, we have now begun to witness a strange paradox in our young. One, the extinction of childlikeness and the extension of childishness. I think you're listening. He is saying that our children are losing their childlikeness and our adults are keeping their childishness. And he says it's because at a young age, they're being overindulged in a mature world that is childish. I've got time to talk about the internet and your kids, but I'm going to find time this month. Consider what the nonstop infectious flow of information is doing to our young. Since they are exposed to so much adult information so early in their lives, they can prematurely lose one, their sense of humor, two, their sense of wonder, and three, their sense of trust. I am so grateful that I grew up in the woods of Levant. I'm so grateful. No, I'm so grateful as a child at recess. We had recess. At recess, we went outside the building. Not only did we go outside the building, we went into the woods. We broke branches off trees and made bows and arrows and six shooters out of them. And we shot each other. DHS never heard about it. But let's be realistic. To think that's the experience of our next generation is not true, because they've got all this coming in at them. There's so much more I could read. Their childlike outlook diminishes as they watch both adults and peers bully each other in cyberspace. I just want to say to you, there's no age limit of what kids can see that you post. They're exposed to adult images on television and YouTube as they trade in spontaneous capture the flag games for participation in adult supervised competitions, and now have translate less to look forward to in adulthood because they've already experienced so much in their childhood. The pain of the adults is being transfused as the normal for the children. And I'm preaching something that is so off, but I preached on racism. I can preach on anything. I'm just preaching something that is the future, but the church has the solution. Oh, come on, I'm not preaching half of what I came to preach today, but I've come to tell you that we must be adamant and we must be intelligent about it. We must make a decision that the cynicism of our culture will not be the norm in our homes. The cynicism of our media will not be the norm in our children. We are the people of God. We have a reason to shout. We have a reason for hope. We are not pessimists. We are optimists. God is good and He can do anything if you don't move him out. We have to guard our kitchen tables and watch what kind of conversation takes place around them. Come on. We've got to get a little bit angry about this. At some point, your child needs to know in their gut that they're in the wrong place. They got to know in their gut. It's got to be something. We're not perfect parents. Well, I'm not a perfect father. They got a perfect mother. But I love it when my kids will go to different places and they say, I don't like it there. Why? I don't know. I don't like the atmosphere. I don't like the atmosphere. And so you take a child, I'm preaching, you take a child and they're hearing it on social media, on the news, on their phone. They hear it from mom and dad as they're just kind of burdened down with the cares of this world. They get it from a teacher. They get it from a coach. They get it from a friend. They get it from church. And we understand why kids have no outlook for the future in a positive way. Because I'm telling you, cynical parents do not raise faith-filled children. cynical grandparents do not raise faithful grandchildren. I'm not here to beat anybody up, but I'm here to declare a warning, and I think we ought to declare war on a tactic of the enemy and say, as for me and my house, we're not going to be bent by the winds of this culture. We serve a good God, and there's nothing too hard for our God to do. We got to tell our children God has a plan for your life. We got to tell our children right is good and bad is wrong. We got to tell our children we not only believe it, we live it. But if you expect that just to happen naturally, you need to stop doing drugs. You got to open your mouth and say, God is good. Come on, somebody. My wife does real good. She puts pictures all around the house about the faithfulness of God, and it's going to be a great day. And I do my best to put animals on the wall. Not for the animals, it's not good, but for me. It's my job to bring home the venison. It's her job to keep it full of faith. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make our... Yes, there are evil things. Yes, there are people taking advantage. Yes, there are liars. Yes, there is Marxism trying to infiltrate the very fiber of our nation. But I've come to tell you, that's not my God. My God is good. My God is great. He's coming back for a glorious people. Let me read a story to you. I got a John 9. Are you ready? Some scripture here, but John chapter 9, just watch and read as I go. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why is this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or the sins of his own parents or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened to be the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and that no one can work. But while I'm here, I'm the light of the world. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And he spit on the ground and made the mud of the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Watch the characters in the story. Some he said he was, others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I'm the one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? He asked. I don't know, he replied. Verse 13. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus made the mud and healed him. Oh, my goodness. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. He told them, he put mud on my eyes. When I washed it away, I could see. Poor guy. Some of the Pharisees said, this man, this Jesus is not from God. He's working on the Sabbath. How could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of their opinion among them. Come on. Looks like modern church to me. And then the Pharisees questioned the man. I got my doctrine. Put your doctrine in your pocket. The man can see. The Pharisees again questioned the man who'd been blind, demanding, what's your opinion about this? What's your opinion? Well, what's your opinion? Don't ask it if you don't want to know it. Well, what's your opinion? You know what I think? No, nope, don't care. You know what I think about that? I think you're an idiot. All right. The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man who'd been called blind could see. They called his parents. Good grief. You do one good thing in church. What did he say? He said, you're wonderful people. Is this your son was born blind so he can now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son, that he was born blind. But we don't know how he can see or healed him. Come on, the man just told the story. Oh, my. Ask him. He's old enough. This is why Jesus never pastored. The father said, would you like the pastor or the cross? Ask him, he's old enough to speak for himself, verse 22. And his parents said, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. Give me the next screen. I got to get through this. Look at the fruit of cynicism in this story. One, the disciples are judgmental. Who sinned? The neighbors are dismissive. I don't know him. Just forget about it. Did you hear about what happened to church? The Pharisees are legalistic. Cynicism produces judgmentalism. It produces dismissiveness. It produces legalism. The Jews were unbelieving and the parents were full of fear. That's the fruit of cynicism. If I were you, I would do everything in my power, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, to rid out of your house every fiber of a cynical mentality, every fiber of a cynical theology, every fiber of a cynical attitude, every fiber of a cynical outlook at everybody else. We become, and I'm finishing, I'm not done, but I'm finishing. Man that was born lame from his birth was carried to church every day until his adulthood. Every day. Expecting something. I want to know, at what point did you stop expecting something? He never met it. Come on, somebody. What are you doing today, lame man? Lame man, I'm getting carried to church. Haven't you done that for 30 years? Absolutely. Why? Because I'm expecting something. And what did it hurt him? Nothing. I've seen a lot of people die. And not one of them said, man, I wish I'd have been more negative. Peter and John walked up to him, expecting something, money from them. And they said, we don't have any silver and gold, but what we do have. In other words, when you keep expecting, God will exceed your expectations. Punt right there. I just kicked a field goal right there. I said, when you keep your expectation, even if it's for one thing, you keep your expectation and God will exceed your expectation. For my God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly above all you could ever ask or think. So we got two problems. Number one, I got to get this. Are you getting this? I'll be honest with you. I dreaded preaching today. I guess I'm cynical. I've decided in my life, there's two kinds of people. You can be Kermit the Frog, or you can be the two old crotchety guys up in the booth. What are their names? What? Waldorf and Sadler? Statler, the two old white guys, I guess I'll go. I love Kermit the Frog. He goes to the counselor. I got a problem. What's the problem? Every time I say phenomenon. Y'all ever heard it? Kermit always had this problem. Every time he say phenomenon, the music would come. Phenomenon. Y'all way too starchy and old for me. Give me some young people. Phenomenon. Or you can be like those two old crotchety guys up there. Make fun of Fonzie the Bear. Fonzie the Bear is the funniest comedian on the planet. And I've just determined that you can make fun of me and you can make fun of anybody else all you want, but I'm going to be Kermit. I'm just going to say I'm living in a phenomenon all the days of my life. And let's just see who has a better outcome, you or me. But it gets messy. The proverb says, when there's no ox in the stall, there's no manure. That means the people business is messy. And if there's no problem, there's no people. On the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, God is moving, and the Bible said some were praising God and some were mocking. In every move of God, do not be disturbed by it. In every move of God, in every answer of prayer, there are the two old white guys that are going, blah, blah, and there's Kermit the Frog saying, come on, that's a great phenomenon. on August the 6th, come on musicians, August the 6th, 1945, Tsutomu Yamaguchi stepped off a streetcar in Hiroshima. He saw a large plane fly over and a big object fall out. And 2 miles away from him, the first nuclear bomb dropped. Burned his upper torso, gave him temporary blindness, and blew his eardrum. Went to a shelter. The next day he was good enough to travel home, got in a streetcar, went back home. Guess where he lived? Nagasaki. I'm telling you the truth. In August on the 9th, they dropped the second nuclear bomb. I don't believe in luck, but that's unlucky. He's the only man that is known to have survived 2 nuclear bombs, 3 days apart. I don't know what that would do to me, but every 3 days I'd be looking for a bomb. What I'm saying is, while I've tried to keep it light, because I refuse to get some depressed and beat you down, just understand there's a spirit of cynicism, and it has no regard for your age. We're not to be dumb and gullible, but we are. We need to keep, there's two areas, for people and for God. Let me just talk to you, because I know people are people watchers, and they are the most unhappy people I ever know. I'm just telling you, parents, please hear what the pastor's telling you. If you want at all for your children to serve God, you cannot be a cynical parent. I'm real flat with you. I'm just telling you, if you have any interest in seeing your children in heaven and you want them to serve God and you want them to have a good godly family, I'm just telling you right now, it is absolutely vital that you not carry a cynical attitude toward the precious brothers and sisters that you go to church with. Well, that's hard. I know it's hard. But Jesus understood it too. And he said, why would you inspect the sawdust in your neighbor's eye when you've got a telephone pole sticking out your own? Paul said to Timothy, a young pastor who was dealing with some very difficult people, he said, Timothy, pay attention to what you teach. In other words, instead of grading everybody else, make sure you first grade yourself. Because what the devil will do, I'm just telling you, the devil will do, as you're sitting there criticizing everybody else, your heart gets hard and he's tearing you apart while you're tearing everybody else apart and you don't know it. I've been doing this for a couple decades. I've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. And there are times I see people come and I'm like, well, let's just see how long this lasts. And I'll tell my wife, and I'll sit, and my wife has got a tremendous weakness. She's so positive. It's like being married to Kermit the Frogus. And she'll say, honey, but I have to disagree with you, because this, them, those, her, him, they. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can't see the 50 because all I can see is the one. And so I have to understand, God, I need you to change my heart. I need to humble myself before you and say, Lord, I humble myself and I ask you, Lord, before you change anybody else, change me. And then secondly, not only is it toward people, I've got to say, Lord, I humble myself. I'm not perfect. Lord, give them the same grace and mercy that I overwhelmingly need. Secondly, I've got to look to God and say, you know what, God? I've survived some nuclear bombs. Has anybody here survived any proverbial nuclear bombs? Has anybody here just amazed that you're not where you want to be, but anybody here realize you wouldn't be here if it had not been for the Lord? I think you ought to lift your voice then and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you never gave up on me. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. I think it'd be appropriate right now to lift our hands and say, Lord, I thank you. give me a childlike spirit. Go ahead. Just begin to say, Lord, give me that innocence back. Give me that childlikeness back. Put something in me, God, that is genuine, that is innocent, that is full of faith, that is loving, that is not harsh and not looking for the wrong, but I'm not looking for the weeds. I'm looking for the treasure. Lord, I thank you. Come on, begin to thank him. Now thank him, Lord. I thank you. Just reinvigorate our hearts. Put a tenderness there. Put a joy there. Put something there that we become looking forward, not looking backward. Looking upward, not looking downward. In Jesus' name, I pray for every person here that is in this place, a renewal of childlike faith. Come on, a renewal of childlike faith. We are renewed. Lord, you don't have to convince us of another thing. You've done enough. We're convinced. You're a wonderful Savior. You're a great God. And you're worthy of all my praise. Come on, begin to praise him and magnify him and say, Lord, I will retain my innocence by keeping my praise. Go ahead. Begin to praise him, magnify him, glorify him right now in this building today. Come on, magnify him, magnify him, magnify him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God will give you back that innocence if you just begin to praise him. He'll give you back that joy if you just begin to praise him. That optimism, that expectation, that confidence is coming to your house in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, somebody smile, say hallelujah. God is so, say this with me, God is so good. Come on, try it again. God is so good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've been so blessed. Turn to somebody else and say, I'm so blessed. Come on. No, I mean it. Be serious. Turn around, somebody, look behind you. Find someone behind you and say, man, you're blessed to sit behind me. Go ahead. Turn to somebody in front of you and tell them, you're so blessed to be near me. Go ahead. You're blessed to just be close to me. Well, hallelujah. Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Whoa. That's in between the keys. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. You ever heard that? It's brand new. I'm writing it as I sing it. Be all right. Be all right. Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Whoa, I got a feeling. Come on, clappers. Everything's gonna be all right. Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. I think I'm doing all right. Be all right. My CD be coming out before the end of the year. Sing it with me now. I got a feeling everything's gonna. I'm gonna be a YouTube hit. Whoa, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. It'll be all right. Come on, sing it now that you know it. I know it's a deep song, but let's sing it. It's theologically correct. Well, I got a feeling.
Everything's gonna be alright.
It'll be alright. Come on, send them in that way. Sing it one more time. Come on, from here. Well, I gotta feel it. Everything's gonna be alright.
Oh, I gotta feel it. Everything's gonna be alright. I gotta feel it. Everything's gonna be alright.
Come on, sing it, guys.
Be alright. Be alright.
Be
It's starting to catch. Come on, sing it as they come. I know that I've got a feeling
everything's gonna be alright.
Oh, come on, let's clap your hands. I think they need to hear it. Come on, sing. Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, come on, board members. Come on, board members. Bring your wives if they'll come. Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. It'll be all right.
Be all right.
One more time so that they can hear their parents sing. If you gentlemen would stand over here, because we're going to get the kids on camera as they're coming through. Thank you. I think that's how we did it last year, but if you would do that, that would be fantastic. Oh, thanks for the water, honey. My booking agent. If you're interested in me doing any birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, weddings. I got one song, though. That's all I can sing. Wouldn't be a bad song to sing at your wedding, though. Well, I got a feeling your life's gonna feel real tight. Whoa. No, we're done. I'm not into songwriting, just singing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious children that are about to come through this prayer line. With joy, God, we receive them as a part of our mighty church. And God, you're building a legacy amongst us, and we're so grateful. A legacy of victory, hope, faith, and joy. And Lord, as we lay our hands on every student, every child that comes through this prayer line, may there be an impartation, a deposit of something divine into every single little heart, every single teenager, every single college student, in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Look, we've had a little bit of fun here today, but honestly, this is a spiritual moment that God wants to do something impacting into these students' lives. So if you would, they're going to lead us in worship. You pray, worship however you want. But every high school, every junior high student, every high school student, and every college student, would you make your way to the foyer? Every high school student, every college student, would you make your way to the foyer right now? We're going to pray for everybody, whether you're going to college or high school. Would you? That's awesome. Now, we're going to be praying for a few hundred people here, so you're going to have to make a hot pocket prayer. Just... You're not the only one praying, but we put all of our prayers together and something powerful happens, all right? All right, go ahead and lead us in worship. You watch on the screen, the kids will be coming through, and we're excited about what God's going to do, amen. Would Kelly and Brian come, all right? Right over here. All right, lead us, guys.
Yeah. I'm blessed. My family is blessed, my health is blessed, and my wealth is blessed. My church is blessed, my city is blessed, my nation is blessed, for my God is blessed. Our house is blessed, my family is blessed, my health is blessed, and my wealth is blessed. My church is blessed, the city is blessed, the nation.
Close this way. Would every school worker come and just join me here at the front? If you teach, if you lead, if you cook, if you drive, if you sub, if you have any connection with the school system, would you come? And we want to pray God's special blessing over your life. You're valuable people. Come on, let's give them some honor today. Awesome. Wow, awesome. Wow. That's awesome. It's good. Please come. Let us pray for you. Awesome. 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 Wow. Come on. Let them know. They don't get that at all. Come on. If you're a coach, you're an assistant coach, if you have any kind of involvement with students, we want you to come. Come on, guys. Praise God. That's awesome. 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 We love you. You're important. You're at Life Impacts. Come on, Vianney. Jeez, for a track guy, you're awful slow. You know I couldn't let you go on that one. All right, there's Tammy. That's... Come on.
Will you just stretch your hands towards them? God, we just thank you for every person that's in this line. And no matter what they do at the schools, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless them. Lord, we pray that you protect them, that you use them, that you give them wisdom, direction. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you bless them on their way to school. You bless them during school, during lunch. I pray, God, that you touch them the whole day. Give them that overwhelming knowing that you're with them and that you're for them. Others might try to tear them down, but we at Charleston Church, we want to lift them up. Lord, they're with our children all day. And I pray this year would be the best year in our schools. I pray, Lord, there are college teachers here. There are elementary teachers here, whatever age. I pray the best year in their classroom. I pray, Lord, that you give them such a heart for their students that there will be a different atmosphere around them. Don't let the world's that cynicism get in them, but I pray, Holy Spirit, that you be with them. Use them in our church. Use them in our schools. Let them be the light in every school. I pray, Holy Spirit, that from the first day until the last day, that you be with them. I pray for them physically. I pray for them financially. I pray for them in every area. I pray for their homes. As they bless our homes, we pray that you bless their homes. In the name of Jesus, we just pray a special anointing. Every teacher, will you just lift your hands to him this morning? Will you just lift your hands up and say, God, I need your help. I know I'm going to get your help. I know that you are for them. I know that your anointing is on them. I pray, Lord, if they're homeschool moms, that you bless them. Whatever they're doing this year, that there will be a special anointing on them. We thank you, Lord, that you're our protector, that you give us wisdom. You give us anointing. You give us supernatural abilities. I pray, Lord, that you begin to show them different things about their children that they come across every day, and they'll begin to pray, and you'll begin to use them, that they'll be molding them in the right directions. Give them strength as they minister to all the different people they come in contact with. In the name of Jesus, bless them. In the name of Jesus, bless our schools. Bless Dexter. Bless Dover. Bless Corinth. Bless Herman. Bless Highview. I pray, bless the colleges. I pray in the name of Jesus that there will be something different in this area because of the prayers. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We love you. We love you. And we appreciate you. And give them a raise, Jesus.
That's good. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much for letting us pray with you and letting us be a support, an avenue of encouragement to you. We love you, every single one of you. You can go back to your seats now.